Now, I would think I'm safe this morning in saying that although we are divided up in numbers this morning, I think I'm probably safe in saying that virtually everyone here this morning, I think you could probably, if I ask you, what has God done? I think you would probably answer and wouldn't have really much difficulty doing that. But what if we change the question? What if I ask you this morning, what is God like? How would you respond? Where would you start? Where would you begin? I mean, especially if maybe you were talking to someone that knew absolutely nothing about God, and they were to ask you, what is this God you say you know? What is he like? Where would you begin? What's the first thing you would say? I've already mentioned a moment ago, it's Valentine's, and folks talk about hearts and giving hearts and candy and all of that, giving your heart away and all that. Let me ask it this way this morning. What's God's heart? What's God's heart like? I trust you know this morning, but if you're here listening and you don't, I would remind you the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised again the third and appointed day according to the Scriptures for you this morning. But what is he really, really like in his heart this morning? We want to begin. I don't know how many Sundays we'll ponder on this, but we're going to begin this morning to meditate upon what God is like. And I want to begin this morning by examining his heart. Now, there's a multitude of passages we could turn to this morning that reveal something to us about his heart. But I think the place to begin is with the Lord himself. And what he himself says about his own heart. It's amazing. I find this amazing that with four Gospels, 89 chapters, 3,779 verses, there's only one verse where God himself tells us what he is like. There are a number of verses that let us look into his heart, but only one time in Scripture do we learn much from the gospel writers. They reveal unto us his heart. They're eyewitnesses, Peter, James, and John. They're eyewitnesses of our Lord. But it's only in one place, here in Matthew chapter 11 this morning, one verse, verse 29. It's his self-portrait. It's an autobiography, if you please. Now, you know this, young people, you learn this in school. A biography is something that someone else has written about a person, but an autobiography is there in the own hand of an individual. Or all of our young people today, they know that on websites, whether it's for an individual, whether it's for a company, or whether it's even for a church, virtually all of them have an About Me tab. And when you click that About Me tab, it's a description of the individual. It's a description. It tells you what the company is all about. Well, here in Matthew 11, verse 29, it's almost as if, though this is the Lord's About Me tab, and the Lord himself tells us in this key verse what he's like. It's in verse 29, but to set the context, I'm going to read 28, 29, and 30. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." And here it is, in his own words, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You and I don't have to wonder this morning what God is like. You don't have to wonder this morning what kind of heart God has. He tells us himself in his own words. We don't have to depend on someone's description. You don't have to depend this morning on my sermon delivery. No, the Lord himself declares what he is really, really like. And he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached over a dozen sermons on this passage, but you can relax. We're not going to do that there. But Spurgeon said these verses here, verses 28, 29, and 30, they're like still waters that a lamb can drink from and find refreshment. But he said at the same time, they're like deep waters that men can dive deep into to get precious pearls from the bottom from. There are three key thoughts in this passage this morning. I'm going to mention the first one, but we're going to focus on the last two. There is in this passage an invitation that the Lord gives. Then there is this insight into his heart that we're really going to focus on. And then the Lord illustrates for us what his heart is like. There is this invitation. It's tied to three words. It's tied to three words, three commands in the text. Come, take, and learn. There, Stephen Lawson has summarized it far better than I could ever summarize it. Christ invites us to come to him. Christ invites us to come under him, to take his yoke. And Christ commands us to come after him, to learn of him. And I'll tell you, this is an invitation we ought to hear again and again. This is an invitation we ought to give again and again. The world needs to hear that the Lord says, come unto me. But even this invitation, although we're not focusing on that this morning, this invitation itself tells us what God's like. This invitation tells us what type of heart God has, that he would say to those that are weary, that he would say to those that are heavy laden, that he would say to sinners, and that he would say to sufferers, come unto me. That's what God is like. We see it in this invitation. But he makes this invitation that he does because of what he's like. So what I really want to note this morning, though, is this insight into his heart. And I want to repeat it, and I repeat it again, and I do it on purpose, so you will get it this morning. This is what Jesus says about himself. This is not what somebody else says about him. No, this is what Jesus says about himself. In seven words, he tells us what he's like. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, be honest for a moment. Is that the first thing you would think of? To say to somebody, to tell somebody about the Lord? If somebody said, what's Jesus like? Would that be the first thing that would come? Did you even think of that a moment ago when I mentioned what was God like? Maybe you thought of saying, why, he's sovereign and he's all powerful. Well, hallelujah. That's absolutely right. He's sovereign and he's all powerful and he's in control. But that's not what he mentions. We might could say he's all wise and he's all knowing. Again, that is true, but that's not what he says. We can say why he is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And one more time I say, amen, hallelujah, that is right. But that's not what he says about himself when he wants us to know what he's like. You see, he has invited. And he is still inviting today. He has invited men to come. But he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Because the truth is this morning, men might think he might abuse them with his power. Because sometimes power is abused. Men might think, well, if he's all knowing, then I can't hide anything and I can't hide my sin. And if he really knows my sin, he'll not be interested in me coming. Or you might think, well, if he's high and if he's holy and if he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is, oh my, he's just surely only interested in the rich and the famous and the elite. He wouldn't be interested in any common, just an everyday person like me. That's why the Lord on purpose, says, I want you to come, and as you come, I want you to know I'm meek and I'm low in heart this morning. Therefore, no man, no woman, no boy or girl needs to fear to come. He will not abuse you. He knows you as you are, and he still says, come. And oh my, he welcomes us to come unto him. This is what God is like. This is what God is like. So look at this insight this morning into his heart. He says, I'm meek. Amen. The term is only found four times in the New Testament. It's found here from the lips of our Lord, of course, describing himself. It's in the third beatitude where he says, blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's found in Matthew chapter 21, quoting Zechariah. But it's found there describing our Lord when he enters into Jerusalem, meek, riding on a colt, the foal there of an ass, Matthew tells us. It's found for that fourth time over in 1 Peter 2, speaking of the spirit that God values. Speaking of the spirit that ought to mark every wife, but it ought to mark every husband, it ought to mark every man, every woman. The spirit that God values, the spirit that God says is pleasing unto him. A spirit of meekness is what he says. So I want to tell you, we need to pay attention. When the Lord says, I'm meek, we need to seek to get a hold of what it means. It's got the idea of gentleness. It's got the idea of mildness. But now, don't think weakness. I'm afraid a lot of people, when they hear meekness, they think weakness. No, no, no. That's not the meaning of the word. In fact, Bartley, a commentator, said the idea is strength under control. And he uses the illustration, you've heard it, I know. He uses the illustration of a horse that has been broken. A big stallion. A big horse. Brother Wade would want to say a Tennessee walking horse. There, a big horse there. Thousands of pounds that can be guided and can be led and can be controlled by a bit and a couple straps of leather. Why? What do you think stronger, the bit or the horse? Well, the horse is stronger, but the horse becomes meek, and all of that strength is under control. And when Jesus says, I'm meek, oh my, he's not a mouse. No, no, no. He is almighty, all-powerful God, but all of that is under his meek control. He says, I am meek. I love one of Spurgeon's sermons on this text. He says this thought of meekness, he says it's not that you're walking down the street and some yapping dog barks. You know, have you ever noticed how little runny, puny dogs yap and bark? He says, no, it's not some yapping dog. It yaps all the way while you go down the street. He says, no, it's like that big old pit bull that doesn't even pay you no mind when you come down. Or he said, it's not like some cackling goose that follows you all across the yard. But no, it's like that big ox that's just grazing and paying you no mind. This thought of meekness has the idea of strength and power and might, but under control. It is focused. I want to say to you this morning, at the heart of meekness is strength. Real strength reveals itself in meekness. But I know those illustrations are maybe hard to put our mind around. There is an illustration of another individual in the Word of God that is said to be meek. It's Moses, the man of God. And in Numbers 12, it says this, "Now the man Moses was very meek, and above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." And of course we know Moses is the human penman of the first five books of the Bible. Somebody said, man, he had a trouble with pride. No, Holy Ghost said, put her down. He put it down. Oh my, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And it is significant that that statement is mentioned in Numbers 12. Because in Numbers 12, his sister Miriam and Aaron are criticizing, are griping, are raising hell. There had to be badness because they're talking about one thing, but it's really something else that is eating away at them. And they criticize the man of God. And Moses says nothing. Moses doesn't defend himself. Moses doesn't try to get revenge. Moses doesn't call on God to kill them. In fact, nothing is said by Moses until God steps in and smites Miriam with leprosy. And that's when Moses does cry out to God, and he's asking God to spare her, and he's asking God to remove the leprosy from her. That's a man that's meek. That's a man that is kind in his heart. Oh my, he wasn't out for revenge. No, no, no. And even though Miriam was wrong and critical of Moses, he sought her best. That's what meekness is. And that's our Lord this morning. He's mighty and he's God, and oh my, he would have right to destroy us and to do away with us, but oh my, he loves us too much. I'm telling you what he himself said. Here's what I'm like. I'm meek. Oh my, but oh my. You want the best illustration of meekness? Don't look to Moses. Think about our Lord, who when he was reviled, reviled not in return. When he was cursed, he offered no curses in return. Why, he spit upon, he struck in the face, they plucked his beard from his face, and our Lord, oh my, utters not a word. When he does pray, we find him praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what that is. You know what that is? That's meekness this morning. That's meekness this morning. Now again, I'm afraid we're skewed in our thinking. Many times we think meekness means compromise. That Jesus is just a softy. That Jesus will just tolerate and overlook sin. He is a meek God this morning, but that doesn't mean he'll overlook sin. You know, I tell the men at school, in real estate, three words matter. Location, location, location. In theology, three words matter. Context, context, context. Jesus says in this chapter, I am meek and lowly in heart. But the context is this. He has just given a stern word of warning. He says, woe, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. He says, while the mighty works that had been done and you hadn't been done in Tyre and Sidon, that had repented long ago. Woe unto you, Capernaum. He says, why? He says, I want to tell you, there that thou be brought down to hell. But if the mighty works that had been done and thee had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago. Now you can go to some places today that are like Sodom. You can go, I suppose we can say, to modern day Sodoms, and you don't have to go to California to do that either. But you can't go to Sodom today. God burnt it. I said God burnt it off the face of the earth. So you can't say that Jesus is a softy and is a pushover this morning, that he'll blink and he'll tolerate sin. No, no, no. And in this context of judgment, oh my, God says, come though, come, come, come unto me. And he says, you can because I am meek. Now, why is the Lord so stern with Capernaum? Why is the Lord so stern over here with Chorazin and Bethsaida? It's real simple. He called on them to come, and they refused to come. He called on them to get under, take his yoke, and they refused to do it. He called on them to come after, and they refused to come after and learn. Oh my. Don't miss this morning, though, what he says about himself. He says, I'm meek, but right quick, this other aspect of this inside. He says, lowly in heart. It's found only 8 times in the New Testament. The idea is literally that which is low, low to the ground. In fact, in Ezekiel, it speaks of a low growing bush, a low growing tree. This word lowly in heart has it's got the idea of humility. The opposite of pride. The opposite of being proud. No, it's got the idea of humility. In fact, over in Luke 1 and in James 1, it's translated the low degree. The brother of a low degree. One that will get low. In Romans 12, it speaks of one that is of a low estate. In 2 Corinthians 7, it speaks of one that is cast down. In 2 Corinthians 10, it speaks of one that is viewed as base. And in James 4, and in 1 Peter 5 again, it's translated humble. It speaks of bowing down, getting down. It speaks of taking the lowest place. It speaks of stooping down before others. And could I remind you what our Lord will soon do after this passage? Our Lord will soon get up from the table where they are gathered together to eat that last supper. And our Lord will gird himself with a towel. The garment and the rag of a servant. And our Lord is going to get down. And our Lord is going to wash the stinky, smelly feet of the disciples, including Judas. That's what it means. That's what it looks like. To be meek and lowly in heart, to bow down, to stoop down. And you see, that's why he gives this invitation. That's why he says to all, come. Ye that are weary, ye that are heavy laden, come, come, come unto me. It's not just, that's why he gives the invitation. He gives this invitation because he's willing to help, because he's willing to get down and do what no one else is willing to do. Oh, my, my, my. For those that are weary from labor, for those that are loaded, for those that are loaded down, oh, my, if they will come, they can find rest. How come? Because this is what God is like this morning. He is meek and lowly in heart. There. He says, I'm lowly in heart. And you see, that's why That's why he's brought up in verse 28. That's why he's brought up these that labor and these that are heavy laden. That word labor has the idea of being worn out. Being worn down and worn out. It's an internal feeling. Heavy laden has the idea of a weight being loaded upon. Piled on and piled on and piled on and piled on. And can I remind you this morning, that's exactly what sin does. That's exactly what life does, not just sin. Sin will make you guilty and feel guilty before God, and it is a weight upon you, oh my. But life itself will wear you out. Life itself will pile on and pile on and pile on and pile on. The good news is there's somebody that's meek. The good news is there's somebody lowly in heart, and he says, come unto me. Oh my, there's help when you're weary, when you're heavy laden. There's help in the Lord. Listen to what David says. He says, mine iniquities, Psalm 38, 4, mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I got news for you this morning. You can't handle your sin. It will handle you. I don't care who you are. Got news for you this morning. You can't handle life. It will handle you. But hallelujah, I'm glad there's somebody that can handle it. There's somebody that can take it. And he says to sinners, come, come unto me. Because this is what God is like. Oh my, there's help, there's relief, because this is who he is. This is what God is like. Now, so we don't miss it, he just doesn't tell us, he just doesn't give us this insight into his heart. He illustrates it. He illustrates it in that last verse. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what a yoke is. But in case you do not know, it's a collar. Most often wooden, but not always. But it is a collar which binds, which constrains. Usually connected, maybe to a plow. If it's a yoke of oxen, team of oxen, connected with a cross beam, whatever the case may be, and if there's two there, we call it a double yoke. And for animals, for dumb animals, it's pretty much a one size fits all. They make a yoke, they can tighten it a little bit, they can add a little bit to it, but for animals, when it comes to yoke, it's not tailor-made, it's just kind of a one-size-fits-all made to work for all. But notice the text and notice his illustration. My yoke is easy. Oh my. In contrast to the yoke of the world, in contrast to the yoke of religion, in contrast to the yoke even of the law, he says, my yoke is different. And you want to know why his yoke is different? Because of what he's like. He's meek and he's lowly in heart. But the key word is the word easy. Now, that doesn't mean no pain. That doesn't mean no difficulty. The word easy here literally means well-fitted. Well-fitted. Fitted to use. It has the idea of being tailor-made for you. Now, you can go to the store Men, get a suit off the rack. Ladies, you can go to the store and you can get a dress off the rack. And they can fit pretty good. But I want to tell you, you want one that fits right, hangs right, looks right. You get one that is tailor-made. You're measured. It's designed. It's sewn. It's created for you. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, my yoke, I want you to know, it's tailor-made for you. No, 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 it's not a one-size-fits-all. You say, what in the world is that? What's the blessing in that, preacher? All of the needs that come into my life, that which he does is tailor-made for my needs. The challenges I face, the challenges you face, he tailor-makes his yoke for us so we don't get chaff, so we don't get wore out, so we don't get weighted down, so that you and I, oh my, can fulfill his purpose in our lives. He says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. He says, my burden, the load, is light. And that word light means just what it says. Light in weight. It's even got the idea of being agile, able to function, and able to move. Now look here, and I'm soon done. For the one who comes to him, for the one who comes under him and takes his yoke, for the one who comes after him and in obedience learns of him, I want you to know, doing his will is not a heavy burden. I don't want you to take my word for it. I do hope you'll take his word for it. Here's what he says in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And to those that love him, and to those that keep his commandments, his commandments are not grievous. If you're having trouble, listen to me, if you're having trouble this morning obeying a commandment, if you're having trouble this morning obeying this word, it very well may be this morning that you've not come under in some area. It very well may be this morning that you're not coming after in some area. Because if you come to, and if you come under, and if you come after, I want you to know, he'll yoke you up with his yoke. And his yoke is a double yoke. His yoke is a double yoke. So what's the point about that, preacher? Here it is. I think you can figure it out by hearing me read it. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall hold thee up. He shall pull your load. He shall lift you up. That's how we began the whole service this morning, singing Love Lifted Me. I want to tell you, you get yoked up with him, you'll find out he does the pulling. You'll find out he pulls the plow. You'll find out he pulls the wagon, that he does the work. Oh my. Could I ask you this morning, how's your load? Could I ask you this morning, Are you in his yoke this morning? Are you trying to keep up with the world? Are you trying to keep up with religion? Or are you in his easy yoke this morning? This one with the easy yoke. This one who is meek and lowly. You know what he says? He says to sinners, come. And to sufferers, he says, come. He says, come. Let's stand together. Miss Kim, you come. Brother Eric, if you won't come, but it's in this old hymnal. It's not in our new hymnal. 2 Sundays in a row, I've wanted to sing something, and it ain't been in this new backslid hymnal. Do you know this old song, Come Unto Me? come unto me. We'll try. We'll do the first verse, and we'll do the chorus together. Amen. I'll get over here so Eric can see me and help me. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. I'll tell you this morning, what matters is not what somebody says he's like. Are you listening? What matters is not even what you think he's like. What matters is what he is really, really, really like. And he says, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. So you have no need to fear coming unto him this morning. Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for your invitation, your insight, and Lord, your illustration. I, God, pray for sinners under the sound of my voice, whether listening over the radio or Zoom or in this service, they know you not. God, I pray they'd realize they don't have to be loaded down, cast into hell one day because of sin. Lord, you can lift it. You can remove it. Then, God, for those that are struggling with life, struggling with cares, worries, concerns, God, it'll wear them out. It'll weigh them down. God, help them to get yoked up to thee. Take your yoke upon them. Lord, you might bring them to a place of rest. Thank you, God, this morning. I know who you are and what you're like. Lord, you've not just proven it, but you've proclaimed it. Help us to hear it. Help us to believe it. All for your honor and your glory we pray. Amen and amen.